saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Thank you so very much. It's wonderful to be here among you. I first came to this little church. I understood why they called it Happy Creek. Seemed like everyone was smiling. I felt the Spirit of Almighty God here. That's a precious thing. That we can feel His presence in the midst of us. I love the way God works with us. As I was sitting there this morning, that verse came to my mind that an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then Brother Gary quotes it. And then we hear a wonderful prayer this morning. Thank you, my dear brother. It was heartfelt. We love our relationship with God the Father in heaven. And it's a precious thing that we've had Jesus Christ that we can identify with. Yes, He was a perfect man without sin, but He was a man. He's 100% man and 100% God.
Amen.
And He lives within you. His Spirit, everywhere you go, is there. He'll never forsake you, never leave you.
Amen.
He's a precious thing in our lives. As our dear brother was praying about coming to Jesus, coming to God, I thought about the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Now, I love Isaiah. I feel like I get a lot out of Isaiah when I read it.
Amen.
And me and my wife talk about Isaiah once in a while. No, we haven't had 50 good years yet, but we're working on it. We haven't been married that long. About 43 years. But we're looking for that 50 years. It's such a precious thing that I come this morning and see your smiling faces and feel the evidence of God again in my soul. Isaiah, some 700-800 years before Christ was born, talks to us about Jesus. All the old scriptures are full of Jesus if you look for Him. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now God, when He wrote this book by inspiration, He didn't divide them into chapters. So a lot of times we can go back, say in the last verse of the 54th chapter, and see who He's talking to. He says in the 17th verse of the 54th chapter, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord."
Amen.
So He is talking here about His children. The Bible is not written for the non-elect.
Right.
It's written for you, His children. And He says, "Whereof do you spend money that you which is for that which is not bread?" How often do we go out there buying and trying to get and trying to do from things that are just going to disappear at the end of our lives. Your life is but a vapor. We're here for a very short time if you think about eternity and everlasting. We saw this accident on the way coming to church this morning. It was a terrible car accident. We know not when our time will be. We all suffer that one event. Jesus says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
I have overcome the world.
Right.
"Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest."
Amen.
Those that labor and heavy laden.
Right.
He says here, "Incline your ear and come unto me." Incline your ear. This is not a way to get to heaven.
Right.
There is no way that you can get to heaven by yourself.
Right.
There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's by the grace and mercy of God above.
Amen.
By His grace, His mercy, and His calling of you. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you." Think about this. Even the sheer mercies of David.
Yeah.
"Behold, I give him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Now, yeah, he could be talking about David, but he's also talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The one that he's talking about.
Amen.
He says in the sixth verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord."
Right.
We're talking about the sovereign God that created all things.
Right.
"For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Excuse me. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." That's why we read the Bible.
Amen.
That's why we try to understand and pray to God for the gospel.
Right.
"So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," is what Jesus tells us.
Amen.
"It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy." I want you to think about that. "Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Come to me and I'll give you rest."
Amen.
He is the peace of the world. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands." I saw that this morning coming to church. The anticipation of coming to feel the Spirit of God will make you see the manifestation of God. Some of the hills were beautiful. The colors, the vibrance, the hills are His. It's a precious thing. Just the anticipation of it. He said, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that it shall not be cut off."
Yeah.
Do you know, everlasting, He has given us many everlasting promises. Many, many everlasting promises. Let's go see what Jesus says about this. Over in Matthew and the 28th verse. Think about this, my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters. He's talking to us. He says, "Come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. That's an everlasting promise from Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We've got to learn about Jesus Christ because He is the purity of all things. He is the righteous one that we get our righteousness from.
Amen.
For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I've been through some turmoil in my life, and I know you have too. It didn't take me long to think on the wrong things when we were down here and there were four lanes of traffic that they had to get down into one, and it seemed like all the Mercedes-Benz had to be in front. And I was trying to sneak in, and I thought, no, I need to look at the Lord. That's my neighbor. You got to love your enemies. It's what He says. So you be patient, and He'll give you the peace of God in your hearts. Daily, what's so wonderful about that? He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is nothing in your lives that's any better than Jesus in you and walking in His light. He has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is a way of living. As you walk in this life, do not try to direct your own steps without letting that preciousness within you guide your life. He wants all things good because He is all good.
Amen.
He is nothing but love, and love never faileth.
Amen.
Love never faileth. If we can continue in this life to walk as Jesus Christ did, try earnestly with everything that we have within us, we are going to reap the benefit. He has promised us that. The Apostle Paul has told us, what you reap, what you sow, therefore shall you reap. Do you want the good things in life? Of course you do. It is a wonderful thing to be able to come together and the Spirit of God be with us as I feel today. It's a wonderful thing that I can look at my brothers and sisters and feel the comfort of one another. Even though there is one that is not here, God has given us the ability to think upon the good things, think about your prayers being prayed upon to the Almighty God for my sake if I happen not to be here.
Right.
If I happen to be laying my head on a dying pillow, that's where I get my comfort. It is the God of all comfort that's going to give it to you.
Amen.
It is the God of all comfort and all peace that'll restore you as you and keep you away from the bad thoughts of this world. Ye are not of this world.
Right.
Ye are a purchased possession. You are His. You are to let your light shine. And the best way to do that is to think upon Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for your time. It's good to be with you.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to hear.
I appreciate that, brother. You could have kept on going. You could have been fine with me. I enjoyed you very much. Pray for me. Pray for me. I still need you this morning. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus, because He first loved me.
thinking earlier that someone coming in for the first time among Old Baptists, seeing the group as we look to the Lord and ask for the prayers that and mention those who are in need of prayer. So the sadness that you would just see on the outside would think, what a poor, pitiful bunch that folks are. And I thought, what a blessing it is to be able to cry and be able to come to the Lord and just lay your heart out before Him. I feel like Brother Darrell's been richly blessed already, and we've been blessed to hear him. The truth declared, it sure helped me already this morning. I thank God for that. Seems like I have a lot of passages of scripture that's on my mind. I trust the Lord will lead us to the place. And if I don't preach to you this morning, I hope the Lord will bless me to preach to myself a little while, and I'll be able to say some things and speak some things that would give us comfort in the midst of our troubles. We are in a world full of trouble. In this world you shall have tribulation. But the Lord has not left us without a message about that. And as He's already read or quoted in our hearing, but be of good cheer, He said, as a reason for us to, in a world full of tribulation, to still be of good cheer. And the reason is that He has overcome. He's overcome the world. And we have a Lord that we can look to today that's bigger than any problem, any trouble, whatever's troubling you today. The Lord's a God of all comfort. And we can look to Him for what we stand in need of. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And that's the purpose of our life. The reason we're here. The reason the Lord made us. Is that we might give glory and honor and praise to His name. I hope today the Lord will bless us not to be so close, narrow-minded that we'll think the only things we have in this world to be happy about are just the things we have and experience in our day-to-day lives. This life is much more than just about right here and about right now. We have an eternal promise given to us by Almighty God of a resting place after this life is over, where there'll be no more sorrow or sadness or heartache or problems. And as we've already heard, it seems like our minds are running kind of together. Our life is but a vapor. It's here for a while and soon vanisheth away. That's why we ought to say, the Lord willing, we'll do this or we'll do that. We'll go here, we'll go there. The man who thinks about day by day. Now, I don't want us to miss the day by day, because he tells us sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and we're to live one day at a time. But we as God's children have a promise that goes beyond just this moment. We have an eternal promise of a God who said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but He'll be with us in every trouble and every trial." And we never want to forget that. And even though He may suffer us to go through many conflicts and distresses and
and troubles. Paul said this. He said, if we had hope in Christ in this life only, we would be of all men most miserable. And let us remember today that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we have a better place awaiting us because of the promises of Almighty God. So whatever we're going through right now, it's just for the moment. And joy is coming in the morning. And one day there will be an eternal, everlasting morning, an eternal day. As the hymn writer said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And that will help us get through the troubles and the stresses and the problems that you are sure to face here in this world. And the ministers are charged by Peter here, and Peter was charged of the Lord to charge the ministers as an elder, he wrote. And I love the way Peter wrote here, because he could, as he had the authority of an apostle, he could have come in that authority and talked to the brethren. But rather than talking to them as an apostle to the elders, he talked as an elder to the elders, as one that was an elder brother. And he came to them and said, an elder which are among you, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. He could have said, I'm an apostle. You just got to do what I want you to do. But rather than that, he wanted them to do what the Lord would have them to do. And he said, I'm an elder. I have this calling. I have this burden given to me. And to the elders, I want them to have this same understanding. Listen, what Brother Darrell did this morning was very, very important. He came with what God gave him from the Word of God and preached to us. And in that preaching, he fed the little lambs and the sheep that the Lord had already prepared and given an ear and an eye and a heart to see and understand those truths. But the feeding was good and necessary. And in that effort, and I thought the Lord blessed that effort, we know that not one sheep was going to be made. Not one sheep was going to be created. As a matter of fact, if the Lord hadn't made any sheep, there wouldn't have been anyone to preach to. It takes the Lord to call the dead to life, and only the Lord can do that. And I'm thankful to know that He does that. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Psalm 100 says, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. That settles where we came from. We are His people. That means we belong to Him. And we are the sheep of His pasture. That means you are special in that He's the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. We are His sheep. Believe me, He takes care of His sheep. And the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, sends under shepherds, elders, and they are to walk in the responsibility God gives them. And that is, as they go in this world, they're to look for the little lambs and for the little sheep. And He's not looking to, we're not looking to make them. The world gets that all confused. We can't make them. The Lord does that just fine. And by the way, He'll have every His sheep hear His voice and they will follow Him. Every one of them will be born again of the Spirit of God in regeneration, and He will not lose a one. Isn't that good? If no preacher ever preaches. And someone will say, well, then why preach? Well, there's a job for the preacher, isn't it? Well, what is the job for the preacher? The calling God has given him. He never gave him a calling to go make lambs and make sheep. But he's called to be a sheep feeder. And you're to find the sheep and you're to feed them with the food. Now, where does the minister get the food? Well, we know from the Old Testament that that which was written was upright and that it was profitable. It was given by the one from one shepherd. It was given to the masters of assemblies. And those the words of the wise are as goads and as are nails. The goads stir up God's children, the nails hold you together, and all of it comes from one shepherd, that is our Lord. If we heard preaching today, it's because the Lord blessed Brother Hand with it, and I hope He's given some to me, and I'm able to give to you. If the Lord doesn't provide it, if the Lord doesn't bless it, it's just like that little lad's loaves and fishes, the little lad who had the loaves and fishes. He didn't have anything enough to feed the crowd that was there, and yet he had everything that he needed to feed the crowd that was there. What was the difference? The master who took the loaves and the fishes divided them among the multitude, and when they got finished, they took up, what was it, 7 baskets or 6 baskets? It was a bunch of baskets. filled with those things, which tells me every word that's in His Word and all that's preached, it's important. It's not to be wasted. It's not just to be cast aside. And isn't it wonderful to know God's big enough to take those things that we might feel is so little and make it so big that it feeds the needs of God's little children? See, I don't have a clue what your needs are this morning. I don't even know what I need. But I know a Lord who loved His people in covenant before the very foundation of the world that knows exactly what you and I need. And He'll take a little old brother, maybe one you don't even want to hear, and bless him to feed you in a way that you're giving the praise and the honor and the glory. Remember this last verse. To Him be glory and dominion. It's the last verse of the fifth chapter. To Him be glory and dominion. How long? Today, absolutely. This afternoon, absolutely. Tonight, yes. How about in the morning? Absolutely. It was that way on Monday when we walked through the woods, Brother London, and thought about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. I'll tell you, we had a wonderful day. I wish I had the liberty I had going up, you know, climbing up a mountain. I didn't know you could hardly walk up. I didn't know at one time I could even walk up the mountain, much less preach up the mountain. But if I felt the liberty going up the mountain that I just wish I could feel when I went into the stand and I was going up. Well, we were huffing and puffing, but we were preaching and rejoicing, and what a wonderful time. And I'm telling you, He provided for us that day what we stood in need of. And it's been a benefit for me. It's been a benefit this week. It's been a benefit right now. And we are sharing that same gospel, feeding God's lambs and God's sheep. And that is the gospel of His amazing grace, what Jesus has done for His people. And He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Brethren, you are the flock of God. You are God's little children, and you are among us. And when we come before you, we're to preach. And whether we're on a Monday walking up trying to walk up a mountain, or whether we're on Sunday in the pulpit, it takes the same Lord to give us the grace to be able to preach there as it does now. And when He supplies it, it's good. And God's little sheep and little lambs are fed. What does that mean? It means their hearts are comforted to know. Isn't it wonderful today to know the Lord's on His throne? And, you know, when you talk to those loved ones and you don't know what to say, all you can say, look, Jesus is still on the throne. And though I don't know the answer, and may not even know the question, and I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know all that you feel, I can relate to it somewhat, because we have the same afflictions. As you read over in here, it tells us, but whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sometimes we think, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this. You ever felt like that? And I tell you, for the moment, it's hard to be convinced otherwise that anybody else has ever felt like this. We can come to God's Word, though. Part of your armor that you're to put on is have your loins girt about with the truth, a girdle of the truth that holds you together, that holds. Remember Brother Jamie preaching about the girdle? It holds everything in. It holds everything together. That's what the truth does in our life. It keeps you from falling apart. We have a warfare and a battle to fight, and we've been given weapons that are not carnal. But these weapons that He's given us, which is the truth and the Word of God, and as we preach that Word of God, it's strong enough to pull down strongholds. I'm telling you, we've got a lot of battles in our life. But you'll find God's Word will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. It'll be that which gives you strength. It'll help strengthen your faith. It'll increase your love. It will be a blessing to you. You and I to be rooted and grounded in the truth. That's why He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. He's given us rest as we come to Him. And that's a wonderful blessing, to be settled about eternal things. I want you to be settled about eternal things today. I don't want you to believe one minute that you had anything to do with getting yourself into heaven, because you will never rest in that doctrine. You'll never have rest. You might embrace it. You might believe it. You can be a little child of God and be confused about it. God's little sheep need to be taught and understand that your salvation is not in what you did for the Lord, but completely in what He has done for you. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. His name was called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He has done it, and it's settled. And as far as heaven is concerned, if you have been led by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. You belong to Him. And if He's led you, you say, well, I don't know whether I'm being led or not. Have you been led a little bit? It's like Daddy used to preach. You come to a tree and you see that tree and you look at it and you say, I wonder what kind of tree it is. And then you look up there and you see one little old measly apple hanging on that tree. And I mean, it looks sick. It looks like it's about dead, but you see just one little apple. Can I tell you? Sometimes that's the way we look. We don't have much fruit. But you know, if you've ever found one little measly apple on a tree, you can say with confidence, that is an apple tree. How do you know it's an apple tree? Because I saw an apple. You say, well, it wasn't much of an apple. Was it an apple? It was an apple. Now, I'm not telling you God's little children ought to be like that. I believe we ought to be planted by the water. I believe we ought to be bearing abundant fruit. I believe we ought to shine forth to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. But I dare say all of us can see times and places in our life where we long to see one little measly apple so that we might have confidence that we really belong to Him. I'm telling you what, if you've ever borne any fruit, it's because He gave you life. And the life He gave you was eternal life. And you will never lose it. You are His. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We belong to Him. And when you get shaken by that, I'll remind you, brethren, listen, I know you're a little... Listen, if I was as confident about my salvation as I am about yours, I'd be happier. It wouldn't make me more His child, but it'd make me a whole lot happier. Because I see the evidence in you. It would be silly for me to try to feed goats today because I don't have anything to give a goat. But I'll tell you, when I see a little child of God, you say, what's the evidence of a child of God? I see a broken and a contrite spirit. I see one who recognizes the need of the Lord. I see one who says, I'm in trouble and I need help and I'm calling out to Him and I'm afraid that I don't belong to Him, that I'm not His. And maybe I've never been. Maybe I'm fooling everyone. Do you suppose a goat ever thought such things? I'm telling you, no. It's only God's little lambs, it's God's little sheep that have a broken heart and a contrite heart. That's the gift of Almighty God to you. Thank God for your battles. You're fighting battles? Be thankful. It's not easy for you that it's a battle. I'm in this world and I'm in a battle. And the old adversary is strong. The adversary is not worried about those going his way. He's trying to get after those that would go and honor and glorify God. And so he comes strong against them. But we have an ally. We have an advocate. We have a Savior who's greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was. But he said it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Can you relate to that? I want you to know he prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this from me. But it wasn't God's will to remove it, but it was God's will to give him grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That means the sufficiency of God's grace will get you through every battle. The old Satan, whatever throw your way, that messenger of Satan, what those things do is just keep you humble. They bring you to the place where you're at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're longing and leaning upon Him. I've had some tough things happen this week, but I've had some glorious things happen this week. It's been like some of those hills. You're going up the hill and the mountainside, you know, you're puffing as you're going up. You ought to hear Brother Terry and I. It was funny, though. I was puffing away. Brother London hadn't even broke a sweat. He was just walking along. Brother Terry sweats with me, though. We puff. And sometimes in this world, it feels like you're puffing along. You ever feel like that? Remember, the Lord is the same when you're climbing the hill as He is when you're going down the hill. And when you're on the top of the mountain, you get to see that view. It seems like the battle has just been all so worth it. When you get down in that valley, sometimes it's hard to see. It's hard to know where you are. Isn't it wonderful we have a Lord who is our everything, who's the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys and the God of the path on the way from one to another? And we're living in this world where there's going to be hills and there's going to be valleys and there's going to be troubles. You're not going to avoid them. That's why he said, though yet be in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We have sheep food for you. That is the word of God. Feed the flock which is among you. taking the oversight thereof. That means we're to feed you the word. We're to tell you the truth. And when you see me needing it, you're to tell me the truth. Brother, the truth that we're declaring needs to be shared back and forth and told to one another. It's not just preachers who preach. They preach in the pulpit, but we share these truths with one another. And sometimes a little text coming with a verse on it, or sometimes a sharing a song with one of our brethren, or just sharing our problems or our troubles in this world, you think, what benefit am I? You don't know how important you are. Just like that little lad didn't have any clue how important he was, that's how the Lord uses things. He's the one who takes those blessings and divides them among us. He said, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. The preacher is not to boss people around and do those kinds of things. But I'll tell you, he is to preach with all authority and in humility the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and he's to be faithful to the Lord. And though we're not absolutely to be followed in every degree, as we teach and preach those things that are found in God's Word, you are responsible and accountable for taking those things and walking in them as given to you by the Lord. In other words, you follow the minister as he follows Christ. If he stops following Christ, you stop following him. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is not talking about something you and I have earned or merited or gotten. It's about grace. That's what this is about, grace. And we have something awaiting us here. Heaven is talked about as a crown of glory that's awaiting for us. How in the world could you and I merit or earn a crown of glory? We could not, but I'm telling you, Jesus did. And he paid the price and paid it in full, and therefore awaits God's little children, every one of them, an eternal place of rest and an eternal home. And as we're laboring in this world, remember that's coming. Because of Jesus and what he's done. It'll help you through the hard times. And he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Oh, isn't it wonderful when you and I can say, not my way or your way, but his way. Let's not go the way I'm. And when ministers have a disagreement, wouldn't it be much better, rather than fighting and trying to one overcome the other, to sit down with the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says about it. So it's not my way. It's not your way. It's his way. And let my mind be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. Brethren, I'll tell you, when we do that and have our thoughts line up with his thoughts and our ways with his ways, there's a peace that comes. And when you and I try to figure it out, we make a mess. What a mess we make. He says, be clothed with humility. God's little children ought to be wearing humility. That's why you're all so beautiful today to me. You're wearing humility. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. When I cry, I know you'll cry with me. And I know you don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. And when we do, it doesn't take long. Like an old brother told me one time, the Lord's a good head popper. And as soon as your head gets a little puffed up, he'll knock the stuffing out of you. And he'll bring you to a place where you'll be awakened and you're clothed with humility. The Apostle Paul said that messenger of Satan that was given to buffet him wasn't given. The Lord didn't just suffer that for no reason, but it was to keep the Apostle Paul from being puffed up. I'll tell you, if you and I knew as much as the Apostle Paul knew, we'd get puffed up and unless we had that same messenger of Satan. I get to seeing some things in God's Word, and I get so excited about it and get lifted up about it. It could cause you to become that way unless the Lord would waken us up to what we are by nature, that we might be surely thankful to what we are by grace. The Apostle Paul was carried up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, and he saw things unlawful to be even uttered. What wisdom he was given and was not allowed to express those things. Of all that he was blessed to give us, there was so much more that he knew that he couldn't even share. And so the Lord kept him humble by giving him some troubles down in this world. Didn't say exactly what they were. I got my thoughts about it. I'm sure you got yours. But the Word of God leads us with that. I know this, his grace was sufficient for him. And then he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And verse 7, if I could just give you this, and we could apply it. Let me say this. If I could give it to me today, if I could give it to me, I want my loins girt about with the truth. I want to have on the breastplate of righteousness. I want my head with the armor of salvation. I want to have the shield of faith. And I want to carry the sword of the Spirit. And I want to go forward into the battle, not running. And looking unto the Lord. I want to be strong in the Lord, into the power of His might. I don't have any strength. I tell you, when I'm weak though, I'm strong. Because in the Lord, I have the ability to face whatever I need to face. He's given me a sufficiency in the armor that He's provided for me. And all of that pictures Christ. He says, casting all your care upon Him. Isn't that good to be able to do this morning? Just cast your cares upon Him. Lord, I want to fix it. Don't we want to fix it? I can't fix it. But He can fix it. Y'all believe He can fix it? I know one day He will fix it. I don't know how. I don't know why we're suffering at times to go through things, but I know God. The purposes of God, the work of God, and I'm not making God responsible for sin. He is not the author of sin. I wouldn't charge Him with confusion. The Bible doesn't. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. But I'm telling you, He's in control today, and He's on His throne. And He's not left it, and He won't leave it. And I can trust in Him. I can cast all my cares on Him. Don't cast it and reel it in. Cast it and leave it. Leave it. Take it to. Leave it there, right, sister? Leave it there. Casting all your care. How much of it? Some of it? The big things? The little things? By the way, what's to God big or little? Cast all your care upon Him. You know why? For He cares for you. And when you don't even know to somebody else what to say, you can say, I know the Lord cares. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Then he says, be sober. That means to be thinking about things in the light of God's word, in the light of His scripture. Don't get drunk with this world and the ideas and the thoughts of this world. But be sober. Be scripturally, spiritually minded. It's about putting on the yoke with Him, and learning of Him. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means you're not to be lazy. God's little children aren't supposed to be lazy. We're to be vigilant, and we're to be watchful. And he says, why? Because your adversary, the devil. You know you got an adversary? I'm sure you do. He bothers you. The adversary of the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Remember when he told Peter, the Lord told Peter that the Satan hath desired you, that he might sift you as wheat. Listen, he desires every one of God's little children, and he'd like to shake us up. And you know that he's there. You have felt that. But I'll tell you, you don't have to be afraid of him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he says, whom resist? How do you resist him? Steadfast in the faith. That means you take that shield of faith and you go forward into the battle. Faith is the evidence and the substance that allows you to know the good things of the Lord and to be able to embrace His word and get the truth when the devil tells you a lie. And he'll tell you a lie over and over and over. He's the father of lies. He's going to continue to lie. So when I'm hearing something that I know that's not the truth, how do I know it's not the truth? I tried by the Word of God. And what His Word says is the truth. When He said He'd never leave me or forsake me, that means He'd never leave me or forsake me. Which means when I feel like He's gone, I'm buying into a lie. Because He said He would never leave. I might tell you I'll never leave you and be gone the next minute. But when the Lord tells you, He's going to be there. He's always there. As a matter of fact, He's everywhere present. And nowhere absent. He's not only the one who is. He's not only one who said He would do it. He has the power to do what He says. Isn't that great? He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Believe me, brethren have similar experiences. Even though they're not identically the same. Isn't it true? Have you ever had a minister come in the stand you never saw before? and he shares with you something, you go like, well, he's been right where I've been. He's experienced exactly what I've experienced. You hear a story from someone and you go like, I know that's a little, I see a little apple here hanging on this tree. I see a little child of God. And as a minister, get real excited because you got some food for that brother. You got something to feed him with. And that food, you know, is going to be good for him because he'll have his loins girded about with the truth. He'll have on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. He'll be able to go into the battle and live in a way so that his tree won't be one little measly apple, but the Lord will provide abundant fruit. When the word breaks forth and the seed is sown, it grows sown that it might bring forth much fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some of them 100-fold. The Lord just provides abundant fruit. I pray that He'll abide for this little church and each one of you abundant fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know there's wonderful fruits of the Spirit, and all of it's of the Spirit. Have to be born of the Spirit before you have the fruit. He says, but the God of all grace. Oh, that's good. How much grace do I need? He's the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. Can I say this to you? If the Lord called you unto eternal glory, where are you going? You think He's going to call and not get you? He called you. Called you to what? He called you unto His eternal glory. Every one of His children that He called are going to be in His eternal glory. How? By Christ Jesus. Not by you, not by Christ in us, but by Christ Jesus. And He said, what? After you have suffered a while, you say, well, why am I suffering? He told you you're going to suffer. But how long? Not all the time. You're going to be with Him forever, but you're going to suffer a while. You know what that suffering does? It allows us to some degree to understand a little bit about His suffering. To be able to really appreciate what He did for us. You ever felt that weight of your sin in you? How must it have felt to be on the perfect Son of God, the Son of Man, to bear that in His own body? He says, after you have suffered a while, He's going to make you perfect. That means complete, establish you, He's going to strengthen you, and He's going to settle you. Is that good news? Is that sheep food? I believe it is. And then He says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And every one of us ought to say, I'm not asking for it, but every one of us ought to say, amen. Amen. That's the truth. That is the truth. You know when we need to say it? You need to say it today, but you know you need to say it this afternoon too. You're going to need it on Monday. When the problems come rolling in. That as brother has already preached, can happen any time. Isn't it good to know that David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I'm telling you that shepherd is our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. God bless you.